From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hey, folks, you have made it. That's right, it is Friday. Happy, happy weekend. November 13th, 2015. We've got a great show to close out your work week. Later on in the hour, our guest for today's Current Sports, yeah, we're finally going to get him on. His name is Kevin Allen. He is the co-author of Red Wing Nation, Detroit's greatest players talk about Red Wing hockey. You don't want to miss this chat. It is a fantastic book. As Kevin Allen, he linked up with Art Regner to really illuminate over a half century of the Red Wing experience. So you don't want to miss that. We will also give you guys a preview of the Michigan State and Maryland game. Again, the Spartans return home for college football action at Spartan Stadium tomorrow at noon. We'll give our predictions on what to expect throughout that one. Also, the MSU men's basketball team, they get it on like Donkey Kong tonight at 7 p.m., the start of the regular season after playing two exhibition matchups. They play Florida Atlantic, and pretty cool stuff. Michael Curry and Eric Snow are coaches of that very team. Yeah, I kid you not, folks. Very cool stuff there. Also, later on in the hour, we will hit you with Reflection Friday as we take a look at the week that was here on the show and beyond. All of that and so much more. If you want to be a part of the show, you just have to call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this Friday, November 13th. All right, again, folks, we start with MSU men's basketball action. They open the regular season tonight in East Lansing at the Breslin Center against Florida Atlantic. The game is set to tip off at 7 p.m. MSU scored a combined 187 points in two exhibition victories. Senior Bryn Forbes, boy, can he shoot the basketball or what? He led the Spartans in scoring in both outings, posting tallies of 23 and 16. Michigan State is 92 and 24 all time in season openers, winning 35 of the last 38. The only three losses in the last 38 years came in 2012 to Connecticut in the Armed Forces Classic in Germany and to number one North Carolina in the 2011 Carrier Classic. The Michigan men's basketball team, they also get their season underway tonight. They will play Northern Michigan at home. Tip time is set for 7 p.m. for them as well. The Detroit Tigers have met with pitcher Joaquin Soria. Yeah, his agent, I should say, to discuss a possible signing. Now, Soria is the only veteran pitcher in the free agent market. Soria was with the Tigers until he was dealt to Pittsburgh at the trade deadline last season. Soria, considered one of the top five relievers on the free agent market, is seeking a multi-year deal and likely a raise from his $7 million salary in 2015, a season he split between the Tigers and Pittsburgh Pirates. The former MSU hockey player Justin Abdelkader, and now current Red Wings forward, he signed a seven-year contract extension yesterday. The contract was reportedly worth $4.25 million a year. Abdelkader, who was from Muskegon, played at MSU and was drafted by the Wings in the second round in 2005. The ex-wife of NFL Hall of Famer and former Detroit Lions star Charlie Sanders. She is facing a lawsuit that will land her in federal court. The lawsuit raises questions about whether she legitimately remarried the former Detroit Lions stud and whether she's entitled to his $1.1 million pension benefit. Oh boy. Court records show that Sanders remarried his wife just 6 days before his death. Wow, talk about hitting the lottery, huh? If that one holds up. All right, last night, the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets, they wore their new Color Rush campaign uniforms. It looked like a Christmas tree out there last night on Thursday Night Football. Now, the unis caused problems with some fans who are colorblind. They couldn't tell the teams apart. Now, the Jets, they dine green, while the Bills dine red. 8% of men are colorblind, and red and green blindness is the most common. So, yeah, not a good look last night. Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Dez Bryant left the locker room Thursday during the open media access session after a prolonged rant aimed at the media. Initially, Bryant was upset about a story written last week by ESPN's John "Jocks" Taylor. The two exchanged words before wide receiver Devin Street attempted to get involved. Street then claimed Taylor used a racial epithet. Taylor, who is black, denied using the slur. Three others present in the locker room said that Taylor did not use a racial epithet. Boy, I tell you, Dallas Cowboys, they are just a fiasco right now. And last but not least, how about this? Ronda Rousey became the first MMA fighter to be on the cover of Ring magazine. She is also only the second woman to cover the boxing magazine. Rousey, who is 12-0 in MMA, 6-0 in UFC, she will also become the first female to land a global lead cover spot on an EA Sports title video game when she graces the cover of EA UFC 2, the second installment of the UFC video game franchise set for release in the spring. Congrats to Ronda Rousey. Also with that news, boxer Floyd Mayweather Jr., he didn't like it. He voiced his concern. Rousey fired back. Also, Oscar De La Hoya, who is the owner of Ring Magazine, he took some shots at Floyd as well. So also some ugly press for that story as well. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR or at WKAR_sports. Let's start the show. Show, ladies and gents, I can't believe it's already Friday. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Wow, I tell you what, you guys know I'm a big NBA fan, huge NBA fan, and you know I sat back last night watching the Bills and Jets game, but I was also going back and forth on my remote between that game and the Warriors matchup last night as they played the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I got to be honest, I've been watching basketball for a long time, but I have never seen a player like Steph Curry. Steph Curry is, and it's so funny looking on social media because there are memes left and right about what Curry is doing. It's like a video game, okay, watching him play. He may be, and in my opinion, he definitely cracks my top five because he's just unbelievable. As far as the most entertaining players I've ever seen, he definitely is in my top five. For me, numero uno, you guys know I'm a big Michael Jordan fan, so no one will ever eclipse Jordan in my eyes. But Steph Curry right now is very, very close to that. I mean, watching this kid play, I mean, he's throwing up shots that are like 5 to 6 to 7 feet beyond the three-point line and nailing them like they're just normal routine layups. Unbelievable. Right now, Steph Curry already has four 20-point quarters on the year. You got to be kidding me. Now, last season, to sort of put that in perspective, Oklahoma City Thunder point guard Russell Westbrook, he led the NBA with four 20-point quarters. And we haven't even really gotten to the season yet of the NBA year, and already Curry has already tied that. That's unbelievable stuff. Last night, he scored 21 points in the first quarter to lead the team in scoring. Golden State, they raced out to what, a 40-27 lead, I believe it was, in Minnesota. Curry finished with 46 points, and they held off the Timberwolves for a 129-116 win. He hit 15 of his 25 shots, with 8 of them being from beyond the three-point line. It's redonkulous what this man is doing right now. Also got a shout-out, of course, former Spartan great on the hardwood, Draymond Green. He added 23 points and 12 rebounds. Also, I'm very impressed with what number one pick Karl Anthony Towns has been doing so far this season. He posted a double-double with 17 points and 11 rebounds, and Andrew Wiggins chipped in 19 points for Minnesota. But what Curry is doing right now is just, I've never seen anything like it. Isaac, I don't know if you caught any of that game last night, but Steph Curry is just on another level right now. I mean, you get to the point, and watching just the crowd, even if they're away, not even at Oracle Arena. I mean, I saw the crowd last night. Everything he threw up, you heard like this, oh, from the crowd. They expect everything he throws up to go in, no matter who's in his face.
Well, his style of play is intoxicating. You just watch him, and it's a behind-the-back dribble into a pull-up jumper with a defender right in his jersey, and he throws it up, turns away before it even goes in because he's that good. He knows that he's the best shooter of all time. I've said that since his third year in the NBA, and he's proven it this year. But wait, I want to rewind a little bit. Did you say Steph Curry's a top five player?
No.
Ever? Oh, okay.
I said he's in the top five as far as most entertaining players in NBA history.
Fair enough.
Without
I'll take
a
that.
No, not top five player.
Okay.
Ever. Hold on. Pump
I just want to make sure I heard that.
Come
right.
on now. You know me better than that, Isaac.
I do.
Come
Thankfully.
On. But as far as entertainment value goes,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Curry is like the Floyd Mayweather. Well, Floyd, a lot of people used to watch his fights, but he's just boring in the ring. That was a bad example. This is a really, really bad example.
This
my
is,
gosh.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, watching, do you ever watch WWE? Remember The Rock when he used to, you know, he
did
do his thing?
Did not watch it. Nope.
Are you kidding me?
It's fake wrestling, Al.
Come
I'm
on,
sorry.
Man.
Hey, alert
Isaac.
To all people, it's fake.
And yeah, we know it's fake, but it's entertaining as heck. I used to be glued to my TV as a young tyke watching The Rock and Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and you telling me you never watch wrestling?
Sports are entertaining enough. I don't want to see something that's scripted. If I do, I'll go watch Shakespeare plays.
I agree with
Isaac, you got to be kidding me. Just a show of hands. We have a bunch of our PAs in the back. How many of you, just shoot your hand up if you watched wrestling when you were younger. Just throw your hand up. Only two out of
two.
How many?
Two of four.
Two or four? Okay, yeah. That's half. That's 50%. That's 50%. But you got to be kidding. Back to my point. Watching The Rock wrestle Isaac was like watching Michael Jordan on the basketball court.
Okay.
To eclipse that to a wrestling standpoint.
That's fine. It's fake,
just entertaining.
It's fake.
We know that it's entertaining. We watch movies all the time that are fake and
yes,
fibs.
Because they're movies about maybe cowboy.
Lord of the Rings
sports.
Has nothing to do with real life at all, but it's like
of
one of the most,
not.
The best-selling movies of all time.
And I could watch an actual boxing match or an actual basketball game or football game and have it be entertaining without falsifying anything.
Isaac, so you're telling me you've never watched anything fictitious and said, wow, this is tremendously entertaining.
No, I have, but I haven't watched any sports games that are fictitious and been like, this is so much better than real life.
I'm just talking about, just in general, watching people don't watch wrestling because it's fake. They watch wrestling because it's entertainment. That's it. It's pure entertainment.
Well, it's not that entertaining.
Oh, you gotta be
kidding. It's so melodramatic, so over the top. It's like a bad Quentin Tarantino movie, except remove any sort of plot line.
Well, folks, the beginning of this show has certainly taken a turn. I did not expect to start my show with a debate about wrestling and whether or not wrestling is entertainment. But welcome to the show. Steph Curry, though, we have to admit that he is tremendously entertaining.
Yes.
And he is, I think, right now, he is the greatest shooter we've ever seen in basketball.
I agree with that. So, there's just looking at his stats, he eclipsed Ray Allen twice already in terms of three-point field goals in a season. He's on pace to almost double his tally from last year. That's not going to stand, but he might set the record again. And in honesty, I'd be surprised if he didn't.
Yeah, so true. Folks, our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Before we move further here on the show, I would be remiss if I didn't also begin today's current sports by also bidding adieu one of a woman who certainly made her mark here in our community and especially here at WKAR. Melissa Binmark will be starting a new journey into retirement. She has been such an important part of our community since joining the station in 1989 as your Mid-Michigan host of Morning Edition for more than a decade. And again, if you've enjoyed waking up to Morning Edition with Melissa or having her along on your morning commute, we encourage you all to call in and give a tribute to Melissa. She certainly will be missed. I remember when I first got the job here at WKAR, Melissa was one of the individuals who I really clung to because, you know, seeing her smile every single day when I came into work was something that was beyond refreshing. And also on Current State this morning, Kevin Lavery and Scott Pohl and Mark Bayshore and April Van Buren, they did an unbelievable job with sending off Melissa with a pretty cool tribute that lasted about 5 minutes. Kevin did an amazing job putting it together. And if you haven't heard that, again, it's posted on our website. I was very tempted to play it on today's show, but didn't get around to it. But if you want to check out that tribute, they did an unbelievable job this morning of saluting Melissa for her years of service here at WKAR. Just simply go to WKAR.org. And again, we encourage you all to call in. If you have some kind words for Melissa and you want to send her off, again, call in 517-355-9527. I believe we do have a caller right now that wants to do that very thing. On line one, we have Kirk from Grand Ledge. Kirk, how you doing, my friend, and welcome to the show.
Not too bad, Al. It's a nice segue into what I was going to say about Melissa. It's also a nice segue into your part about Steph Curry because, you know, both you and Isaac are just young guys. You know, you're young pups.
We are young pups. That's true.
And Al, you and I have had a conversation about this before in terms of, to me, Steph Curry reminds me of Pete Maravich.
Exactly. So, I remember having that conversation with you. Yep.
The whole warm-up thing and all the different drills he does in terms of handling the ball and stuff. Go to YouTube and check out Pete Maravich, drills or whatever. And the kind of things that Maravich was doing years and years and years ago will remind you a lot of Steph Curry.
Right.
And
right.
And if they had the 3-point line when Maravich was playing, I don't know what kind of scoring records he would have had, but.
Right.
You know, the bad part about Maravich is that he just never had the surrounding cast.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So you guys are young about that. You're also young about Melissa because you guys don't know the history that at one point, then Melissa Ingles was the producer of Sports Talk with Earl Robinson.
Had no clue.
Yep. So she had her hands in the Sports Talk show a long time ago. She and Earl, and there'd be a lot of times I'd call in, and it was Kirk from Grand Ledge, and Melissa would say, well, hi, Kirk, how you doing, and stuff, and we'd go from there. So she's had a hand in so many different things around that station, it's hard to believe. So we wish her well.
Yes, without a doubt. Kirk, thank you for the call, man, and I definitely will pass the word to Melissa if she's not listening right now. Thanks so much, Kirk.
All right, take care, Al.
Always a great call. Gotta love Kirk. Look at Kirk schooling us, man. On Pete Maravich. Now, you and I are both big basketball aficionados, and I actually, when I was growing up in high school, I mean, I had like this thing of just looking up basketball history back in the day, and I remember, and I used to play video games a lot as well when I was younger, and there was a game that came out called NBA Street Volume 2. I don't know if you remember that game.
Of course.
One of the greatest basketball games of all time, right? And they had this thing where, you know, if you accomplished a certain feat on the game, you could unlock a basketball legend. And one of those legends who were a part of the game was Pistol Pete Maravich. And it wasn't until then where I really started to say, okay, who was Pistol Pete Maravich? I don't know who that is. And my dad would sit me down, and there were countless documentaries done on Pistol Pete and how, you know, he was just this entertaining player and who was unbelievably good. How he used to, you know, when he was growing up, his dad would have him in the truck, and they would drive, I don't know, like 5-10 miles per hour up and down the street as Pistol Pete, you know, as this young kid would dribble out of the window to improve his handles. And then you would see the flashy passes. I remember, you know, one highlight that always stands out to me whenever Pistol Pete's name is brought up is him dribbling down the court on the fast break. And right before he dishes it off to his teammate to his left for an easy layup, he, like, does this thing where his hand goes over and under the basketball, and then the other hand comes and dishes it to his teammate for the layup. Just an unbelievably entertaining player. And I really wish I would have got it. That's why I wish we had a real current sports time machine where we could go back and check out some of those greats of the past.
Me too. And my favorite thing about Pistol Pete is he's a New Orleans boy. He came up. He went to LSU. Of course, LSU's basketball arena is not named Shaquille O'Neal facility or anything like that. It's the Pete Maravich Assembly Center. He did so much for that school, so much for that team. He's one of the best college basketball athletes ever. One of the best college athletes ever across sports. He averaged 45 points a game in college. And, you know, Kirk's absolutely right. He was so energetic, so thrilling to watch. I've seen tons of classic games with him being in New Orleans, having him be my dad's favorite player growing up. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the difference between Pete and Steph, I think Pete Maravich was almost more of a mid-range shooter. He'd remind me more of an Allen Iverson. I've always said Pete Maravich was kind of Iverson before Iverson, flashy dribbler, flashy style of play.
But, I don't know. I would say Isaiah was more Iverson.
Isaiah would work a little too, but it's just Pete also would carry the ball. He was the first player to really carry it, cradle the ball in his hand and use it to manipulate the dribble. But Pete Maravich, rest in peace to him. I've actually got his autobiography and one of my favorite players of all time. I've got his jersey as well.
I was just about to say that. You know what? It just hit me now when you were talking, Isaac, that you actually have. I mean, you're big on thrift shops and vintage stuff, and actually have Pistol Pete Maravich. Was it a Utah jersey?
They didn't have it for New Orleans back when he was on the Real Jazz. Also, quick rant. Why is Utah the Jazz? It should still be New Orleans. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't get that one either. But yeah, but hey, shout out to Pistol Pete, and he actually passed away on the basketball court too. Far too young. He was only 40 years old, and he passed away. But rest in peace, Pistol Pete. Again, folks, our phone lines are open 517-355-9527. Before we get to this Michigan State and Maryland football preview, again, the Spartans will take on the Terrapins at Spartan Stadium tomorrow at noon. Again, keep it locked to WKAR.org throughout the entire weekend for our coverage of that game. Also, tonight's MSU men's basketball game season opener against Florida Atlantic, and also on Sunday as the MSU women's basketball team, they open their year. I'll be at all three games giving you guys coverage. We have Mike from Saginaw, though, on line one. My man, Mike, how you doing, brother?
Let me tell you, you heard of Missy Elliott's new record yet?
I have. I watched the video, and I'm glad she's back. But I wasn't feeling the track. Mike.
You wasn't feeling it,
I wasn't feeling it. Even though it's vintage Missy, I mean, I love Missy Elliott, one of my favorite artists of all time. But I'm not feeling the new track. I don't know. I may be in the minority in that.
What do you think about Janet Jackson?
Oh, I love Janet Jackson. I love her new song too. I forget what it's called, but I'm digging her. I'm digging her new album at least.
Well, since y'all talking about old school basketball player, what about Nate Archibald?
Oh, of course, Nate Tiny Archibald. Of course, yeah, he's another guy that comes in that conversation as well, and he was also featured on that video game when I was younger. There's so many greats that you can bring up that a lot of people forget about. But I tell you what, you know, those two, Pete and Nate Tiny Archibald, those are guys that a lot of people just kind of overlook in history.
Mm-hmm, they really do. I mean, I just think about that. Steph Curry, man, I watched that last night, man, and I thought about it. Well, if Ricky Rubio was still playing, he still would have beat him anyway, man. But still, man, he is something, man.
Right, yeah. I think Ricky made the right choice of sitting out last night's game, right? It was a tall order for Minnesota.
You know what? Zach LaVine needs to sit on the bench some more. He got to learn how to play basketball. He's a dunker right now.
But you know what? It was very impressive how Minnesota was able to stay in that game, though. They made it an 8-point game. There was a 10-point game at one point in the fourth quarter. I was very impressed at how they were able to linger around. That's going to be a very good team as they progress in the season, Mike.
Oh, yeah, they are. I like Karl-Anthony Towns. I didn't realize he was that good. Man, he's good already.
Fantastic. He's got an outside jumper.
You know who I was thinking about, too, speaking of big men, that guy in New York. What's his, Porzingis.
Yep.
Porzingis, yeah.
He's impressed.
They always show all his dunks and everything, man. But it seemed like it's some big guys coming up, man. I just wish if Andre Drummond would have a better touch like that, man, he'd be unstoppable, man.
Oh, well, Andre Drummond has been playing out of his mind this year. Throughout the first six games of the year, I mean, the only other individuals to average 20 points and 20 rebounds were, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Wilt Chamberlain. So Andre Drummond is – I think they're different types of players because Drummond's got more size to him. He's bigger. He's got more muscle on him. But Karl-Anthony Towns is a player who can take it inside, outside. I mean, he's a walking double-double as well. They're both unbelievable players.
Davis are similar type players, or Anthony Davis just more skillful?
No, Anthony Davis is a guy. I mean, he's got the body, but Anthony is his range is unlimited. And I really hope that he really needs to get healthy for this team because right now the Pelicans are reeling, to say the least.
Well, but what I was going to say is he like Rasheed Wallace?
Who?
Anthony Davis.
No, they're a little different. I think Anthony Davis, in my opinion, is more finesse, if anything. And
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think he's way more finesse.
So much Anthony Davis being a Pelicans fan.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis is almost a hybrid between one of those Rasheed Wallace types because he is a big player and he can stretch the floor. But also, Kevin Durant, he's silky. He's long and can really control a game. So he can create his own shot more so off the dribble than just about any other big man.
Yeah, I agree.
Here's a good question for Isaiah. Since you from New Orleans, what you think about Ben Simmons?
Ben Simmons, crazy about him. I'm interested to see how his game will translate to the pros because he's one of those 3-4 combos, and I always think it's interesting to see those guys develop their position. I think it's tough to get by in the NBA if you're a tweener, but he's talent-wise as good of a prospect as I've seen.
Do you think LSU as a basketball program, do you think they really ever will be if they getting enough players now where they can really compete in the SEC?
Well, you see a new coach at LSU, Johnny Jones, and he's done a marvelous job transforming this team from on the periphery to right in the heart of the SEC competition. Also, Antonio Blakeney, the number 14 player in the nation, is going to be there this year. I think they're for real, Michael.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to be looking out for him. Here's one more Michigan State basketball question. You know,
Last one. Go ahead.
All right, then. I'm going to watch McQuaid, and I'm going to watch the freshman tonight. Yeah. I really want to see you because I hear good things about McQuaid. I'm just going to thank you for taking my call, and I'm going to let you comment on both of them, and Deanna Davis and McQuaid. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. And, yeah, we actually highlighted Matt McQuaid on last night's Current Sports TV sit-down with Brian Callaway. If you want to check out that, go to video.wkr.org. But Matt McQuaid, he's a player who can dish the rock. He's a player who has range on his jump shot. I really like McQuaid a lot, and he's just a freshman. He's only going to get better. As far as Deontay Davis goes, wow, he is a man right now when it comes to what he can do down low, rebounding. He's got a good touch around the rim. And we've also seen a bit of emotion from him so far. Even just looking at those two exhibition games, I mean, it was looking at that first game, he showed some emotion. That was something Izzo was a bit worried about because he's such a quiet kid. But both of them are going to be very big contributors for this team, I think, this season. Call in, folks, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we are going to invite Kevin Allen, who is the co-author of Red Wing Nation, Detroit's Greatest Players, talk about Red Wing hockey. He'll give us a synopsis of what that book is about. We'll also be taking your calls on the Michigan State and Maryland game tomorrow at noon at Spartan Stadium. Can the Spartans rebound after that loss to Nebraska on the road last week? And we'll have Reflection Friday for you and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Few teams and even fewer cities have the passionate fan base and winning tradition of the Detroit Red Wings. With 11 Stanley Cups to their credit, the franchise has enjoyed great success and even some of hockey's most legendary personalities don the red and white jersey. But there's more to the Red Wings than throwing octopi on the ice. In Red Wing Nation, Detroit's greatest players talk about Red Wings hockey. Authors Kevin Allen and Art Regner illuminate over half a century of the Detroit Red Wings experience. And right now we do have Kevin on our airwaves. Kevin Allen, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, Kev?
Doing great. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You know, Kevin, when looking at this this incredible piece of work that, again, you and Art Regner have teamed up to produce, such an extensive piece of work, to say the least, because, you know, you're talking about a team that has such a storied tradition of winning with so many personalities. When putting together this piece of work, Kevin, where did you and Art start? How do you begin to put something together like this?
Well, that's actually a great question. And, you know, I think Art and I started where, you know, our hearts were. I mean, I think, you know, there were certain players. We held the draft. I remember, you know, trying to decide who was going to get the call, which player. And, you know, it was just like any draft you would see. You know, I can't remember whether Art had first pick or I did, but we picked the players we want. And, you know, it's funny, but as I recall, we sort of quickly developed party lines. I tended to go to the older players, and Art tended to want to interview the current players. I think it, you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, my job, the fact that I cover the National Hockey League. So, you know, I deal with the current players, but I was more interested in learning about the older players. So it was actually a lot of fun, and I enjoyed all the interviews that we did, you know, over a lengthy period of time, and developing what I really kind of consider almost an oral history. You know, we did the interviews, and then we took what each of the players said and sort of, you know, pieced it together in their own words, stringing together their quotes, and sort of kind of created a history of the Red Wings through the words of the players themselves.
So, Kevin, what players did you guys talk to? And I got to know, who was the first player drafted in that interview draft?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, to be honest, I don't remember. But I guarantee you that, you know, as I recall, you know, it was some of the older players. I mean, you know, Ted Lindsay, I know, went very early. I think probably both of us, you know, wanted to talk to him and get his take on things. And, you know, I know Eisenman, you know, went quickly as well. You know, there were players that you would guess, you know, the star players that we both wanted to, you know, kind of talk to and get their take on things. And, you know, I think there were some maybe some surprises, like, you know, Art knows the Red Wings as well as I did. So, you know, both of us knew that, for example, that Jim Neal would be a great source of information because he played with the team in the 1980s. It was part of the, you know, the Bob Probert, Joey Kosher, Yzerman era. And yet he was also part of management during the glory years in 1990. So, you know, a player like Jim Neal went early as well. And, you know, Chris Chelios went early as well.
Now, Kevin, where does the inspiration behind this book come about? How did you and Art say, hey, you know what, let's team up and put together this book? Where did that idea come from?
Well, Art and I had done a book on a similar format for Michigan football. And both Art and I are Michigan natives, having grown up, you know, Art grew up in Livonia and I grew up in Wayne, Michigan. And so, you know, we were familiar with some of the history, and we decided Art was a Michigan graduate. I am not. And we decided that we would do that book together. And it went very, very well. And Art was a big hockey fan, and of course, this is what I do for a living. I've done it for more than 30 years, you know, writing about hockey. So it was pretty natural, and the fact that we were originally from Detroit, and both of us knew the history pretty well, and we knew the main characters. I mean, that's the thing. Like this format doesn't work for, you know, every team. I mean, you couldn't really do it with the Tampa Bay Lightning or the Nashville Predators or you know, the Florida Panthers. You really need a franchise that has, you know, a great lengthy history. And, you know, for that reason, it just seemed like a natural for us to do a team that we knew intimately.
Yeah, the Red Wings certainly have a lengthy history and a tradition of winning. Now, looking at the, you know, the book itself, I see that the foreword is from Steve Yzerman. How did that come about?
Well, actually, Art has I've known Steve for a long time as well. I wrote a story about him, you know, when he was drafted in 1983. I was at his first training camp. I certainly remember him showing up as a 157-pound player. I remember, you know, writing that in the first shift he ever took in training camp, it was pretty clear that, you know, he was going to be a difference maker. You know, he was at 18. Just so much more skillful than all the other Red Wing players. And then Art also knew him from his years in radio and doing the Red Wing postgame show. And Art decided that he would I dealt with Mark and Marion Ilitch, who did forward as well, and Art dealt with Steve Yzerman.
Wow, very cool stuff. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with author and of course, writer Kevin Allen, who has put together a really cool piece of work as he's teamed up with Art Regner in the book entitled Red Wing Nation, Detroit's Greatest Players, talk about Red Wing hockey. Now, you know, reading the summary of this book, Kevin, something that really stood out to me is that this book also goes, quote, behind the scenes and provides stories that go beyond closed doors. Now, I don't want you, of course, to recount all of those stories, but do you have a few stories that people can enjoy and dive into that go beyond the scenes that haven't been talked about yet that they can enjoy in this book?
No, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, if I can just pick out a couple because there are a lot of them. You know, one of my favorite stories in the book involves Ken Holland, and you know, he's been the general manager for the Red Wings for a lengthy period, and before that he was a scout. And I sat down with him in the discussion about how he ended up in the Red Wings organization and how he ended up in management, and it's really a remarkable story, and he tells it very well. But essentially what it comes down to is he was trying to decide what to do with his life after his pro career was over. And Ken Holland was a journeyman minor league player, only had a cup of coffee in the NHL, really never made the grade as an NHL player. And he was thinking about going back to school. And his mother, he was out from in BC, his mother said, look, I just saw this great advertisement in the newspaper. They're looking for a vacuum salesman. And she said, I called on it, and, you know, the commission rate is very high. And as it turns out, she told her son, Ken Holland, you know, I need a vacuum cleaner. So on your first day, I would buy one. And I talked to my sister, and she needs one too. So on, you know, second day, you can sell one to her. And then Ken Holland said, you know, I'm doing the math, and I'm thinking, well, what about, you know, Grandma? Will she need one? And she goes, you know, she probably would buy one too. And Ken says, wow, this is great. You know, I haven't even taken the job yet, and I've already sold 3 vacuum cleaners. So that's right. Where he was going to go. He was going to do this. He said, then I sat down, and I thought, yeah, but who am I going to sell to on the fourth day? And just then, Jim Devolano, who was the general manager of the Red Wings at the time, called him and said, look, I have this scouting job, and I think there's a lot of potential here. If you want to come aboard as a scout and, you know, try to work your way up, I think you have a lot of potential and you could work in the management. And Holland, you know, already weary of being a vacuum cleaner salesman, even though he hadn't even taken the job yet, you know, jumped at that opportunity. And, you know, when you think about being at the crossroads of life, now Ken Holland, of course, today is known as one of the top general managers, probably in the top 2 or 3 general managers in the game today. To me, he's a surefire Hall of Famer when his career is over. And you think back at that time, had he just decided to take that vacuum cleaner sales job, you know, who knows where he would be today. So that's the kind of stories that people gave us, and a lot of players talked about, you know, how they got involved, you know, what was the break they got that helped them get where they were. And, you know, some of another one was Ted Lindsay talked about, in his estimation, that the Red Wings could have won 7 or 8 Stanley Cup championships in a row in the 1950s. He looks and he sees that the Stanley Cups won by the Montreal Canadiens in the 50s should have gone to the Red Wings. And in his mind, the only reason that they didn't win that is Jack Adams, who was the late Jack Adams, who was the general manager at the time, decided that he was going to be a good trooper for the league and give away a lot of the Red Wings' talent and, you know, give it some of the players to Chicago because the Norris family owned both teams. And, you know, when you think like that, in a modern era, that would never happen. But, you know, in the 1950s, the league was a real family affair, to say the least.
Yeah, I say that. You would never see that in today's sports, just in general. Oh, my goodness. But think of that. I mean, Ken Holland could have been selling vacuums. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. Again, folks, we are chatting with Kevin Allen, who is a co-author of Red Wing Nation, Detroit's greatest players talk about Red Wing hockey. Now, before we get you out of here, Kevin, I want to, you know, talk about Scotty Bowman. And what do you think made him such a great coach? And what did players say about him when you were conducting these interviews?
Well, I know a lot about Scotty Bowman. I pretty much covered him most of his career. You know, what made Scotty brilliant is that he is a genius. And I mean that literally. I don't think anybody understands the sport more than Scotty Bowman. And he knows everything about the sport. You know, right now, what we call advanced stats are all the rage in the NHL. A lot of sabermetrics, you know, looking at math and puck possession and so forth. Well, 30 years ago, Scotty Bowman was talking to me about advanced stats. You know, he kept different stats than everybody else did. Mm-hmm. And he was concerned about travel and how many practice days and, you know, was very advanced. And the other thing about him that allowed him to, you know, win so many Stanley Cups and stay current. Like, he's still active in the league now in his 80s. Like, he is still a vital member of the Chicago Blackhawks organization. And the reason he's done that is that he's evolved with the times. Like, you know, he wasn't the same coach in the 1990s as he was in the 1970s. He was improved. He was better. He changed with the game. And not everybody can do that, but Scotty could. And he's very modern. He knows everything about the game, and yet he can talk about what happened in the 1950s as well. So he's a very remarkable, very, very cerebral coach. You know, I think he was a little bit overstated. A lot of people thought he was kind of a gruff man, and he was a little bit in the 1970s. But mostly he didn't talk to the players. Like, all the intimidation that he had over them usually was just, you know, he either did or didn't play them. But he never really created a scene in the dressing room with the player. He was not a guy that would yell at players. He just would control them and intimidate through, you know, manipulating their ice time.
Oh, boy, I tell you, he is such a mind. Scotty Bowman. And also, I'll be remiss if I didn't bring this up, Kevin, but, of course, Nicholas Lidstrom and Sergei Fedorov, they were the 8th and 9th members of the Wings 2002 championship team to get inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame this past weekend. What mentions of those two do you have in the book?
Well, you know, Nick Lidstrom, you know, gave his talk as well and talked about his arrival to the league. And both those players obviously were tremendous contributors to Detroit Red Wings history. You know, Scotty Bowman just said to me actually last week, you know, he told me the story of having a conversation with Wayne Gretzky, and Wayne Gretzky telling Scotty, you know, Mario Lemieux, nor me, nor Jaromir Jagr, we could not have played defense. So the fact that Scotty Bowman could use Fedorov on both defense and forward to Wayne Gretzky, you know, spoke to how, you know, how what a great player that Fedorov was. And with regard to Lidstrom, I mean, I feel pretty confident in saying that if you put you know, Bobby Orr was in a class by himself. He revolutionized the game with his ability to carry the puck. But I think Nick Lidstrom is the second greatest defenseman in NHL history. You know, I think the Norris trophies, the fact that he was as good offensively as he was defensively, and I thought the nickname of the perfect human that his teammates gave him really kind of spoke to who he was, because, you know, he's the most gentlemanly player in the league, and he was one of the most effective players in the league. You know, he was a star, very humble man, never acted like he was the superstar that he really was.
That is so true. Well, I tell you what, folks, you got to get your hands on this one. Again, Kevin Allen, co-author of Red Wing Nation, Detroit's greatest players, talk about Red Wing hockey. Kev, how can people get their hands on this book?
Well, I mean, it's moving pretty good on Amazon. That seems to be, that's where the best price is. You know, and they deliver, as we all know, relatively quickly. And it's a, you know, it's a great Christmas read for a, you know, for a Red Wing fan. There's a lot of great stories in here.
It certainly is. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us on the air. You take care, all right?
My pleasure. Bye now.
All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, just 15 minutes left, we will put a bow on the show by giving you guys a preview of the Michigan State and Maryland college football game that happens at noon at Spartan Stadium tomorrow. Also, we'll take a look at the Michigan State and Florida Atlantic game tonight as Tom Izzo and company open their season at the Brez. And we'll also have Reflection Friday for you. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports. Back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Was that not a fantastic chat or what? With Kevin Allen, again, co-author of Red Wing Nation, Detroit's greatest players, talk about Red Wing hockey. But I'm pretty sure there are so many cool stories throughout that piece of work. Again, Kevin teamed up with Art Regner to illuminate over a half century of the Red Wings experience. A pretty cool story. I mean, my goodness, Ken Holland could have been a vacuum salesman. And he wouldn't have been one of the greatest GMs we've ever seen in sports. That's I'm still blown by thinking about that story. Crazy, crazy stuff. But I certainly will be diving into that one. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, let's talk college football right now. Of course, the Michigan State football team will try to rebound off of what occurred last weekend on the road at the hands of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Again, Michigan State sits right now at 8-1, 4-1 in the Big Ten, and they will take on Maryland. And they have an all-time record against Maryland of 5-1. This is going to be an interesting game because I really thought that when looking at how Michigan State began that game against Nebraska on the road, they looked a bit out of sync. And I think a lot of that had to do with coming off a bye week. We all see teams in college football or just in sports in general. If you have a bye week, sometimes that very next game coming off of that week is a bit iffy. You know, the team has some rust on it. They have to get back into that groove. And for the first time all year, we saw an inaccurate Connor Cook in the first half of that game. Connor Cookie had a bit of a few overthrows. He rushed a few throws. We saw some underthrows as well. He just didn't have that chemistry that we were used to seeing, you know, throughout the season with receivers like Aaron Burbridge and R.J. Shelton and so on and so forth. But, you know, later on, as that game went on, it seemed as though Connor Cook did get into a bit of a groove, but it was just weird seeing Connor Cook struggle a bit. And Nebraska certainly took advantage of that. Tommy Armstrong Jr., he was able to challenge that really weak secondary. I mean, that's the clear, you know, Achilles heel for this team right now. But I think this will be a great rebound game for the Spartans, playing a Maryland team that, frankly, isn't that good. I'm really looking forward to seeing also the running game for Michigan State and seeing how prolific that becomes. Because right now, the Spartans have been able to drab on the ground, averaging, 3.95 yards per carry, which is actually ranked 93 nationally. And, you know, seeing guys like L.J. Scott, Madre London, seeing those guys just really get it going on the ground, that's what Michigan State plays. They play that balanced type of offense where they want to pound you on the ground and also pick and choose where they attack you through the air. So I'm looking forward to seeing if L.J. Scott and Madre London can get it together, because I think that will also ease the nerves of Connor Cook and not put so much pressure on his back to have to make a bomb throw every single time he steps back in the pocket. So this will be a game, though, and I do think Michigan State will, again, win handily. If I have to give a prediction here, I think Michigan State, you know, hits the 40 mark. I think they hit 42. I'm going to go with Maryland maybe like 17. That's going to be my prediction. Isaac, what are you looking forward to seeing in this game?
Yeah, I say 45-21 Michigan State. I think Maryland's lost five straight Big Ten games by an average of 23 points. I know that the Spartans have struggled holding on to leads and letting other teams catch back up, but I just can't see anything resembling that in this game. However, I do think there's one player on Maryland who you have to look out for, and if Michigan State hasn't heard his name, they'll remember it by the time the game's over, and that's William Likely, maybe the best returner in the country by my book. And of course, we know how much Michigan State has struggled containing punt returns and kick returns. So William Likely could be the X factor. However, I still think not enough talent on Maryland. They rotate between two quarterbacks. Neither even completed 50% of their passes last game. Michigan State should be able to walk away with this one fairly handily.
Also, I really think that Shalee Calhoun, senior defensive end for Michigan State, is going to have a big game as well. It's interesting because Shalee Calhoun was asked about an Instagram post that he posted this week. And he posted, I believe it was two pictures of him being held by the Nebraska offensive line. Clear penalties. And he just kind of posted real subtly. Well, I wouldn't say subtle, but, you know, he kind of called out and said, hey, if Nebraska wasn't holding me, I would have had a better game. That's basically what he's saying. But Calhoun, we all know that he is menacingly good. He has eight sacks this year. He's built like a truck. I really think that he was frustrated by what occurred on the road last week, and I think he is going to just give Maryland tomorrow he's going to give them a lot of trouble. So I'm looking forward to seeing Shalik at least get one sack tomorrow. That's also something to look forward to, and to see how this team rebounds off a week in which they finally have a loss in that loss column. Folks, our phone lines are open. Less than 10 minutes left. 517-355-9527. We have Ray from Indiana on line two. Ray, how you doing?
Go Hoosiers. Beat the boys.
Yeah, you're rooting for Indiana, huh, tomorrow to beat Michigan,
I root for anybody that resembles away from Michigan.
It could be any team. It could be a high school team playing Michigan.
You know tight end for Michigan's got his nerve to mention God. He's got everybody's back.
You're talking about Jake Butt.
He doesn't like people that are prideful and arrogant. It ain't my words. It's in Proverbs, okay? It says, all your money, pride, and arrogance won't get you into heaven, but it could get you into hell, and that includes me, Ray Berger. You got to stay humble. Okay. And those people aren't wanting to be humble down there at the top down there, I'll tell you that.
You know
that little weasel, John Beilein, the last game I gave him chocolates and hail the victors? I said, I wonder what he did with those after the dinner was over. He was down on his knees and dragged behind the couch to get his chocolate. It's a millionaire I'm talking about, my friend.
Ray, I don't know.
A millionaire.
I don't know where this conversation just went. But I always know that when you call in, I better strap in tight because I know that you are not the biggest Michigan fan.
People that lie. I don't like people that lie, sir.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I told you my John Beilein story. I haven't had a bad – well, I'll tell you what, my
guy,
first interaction –
he's a liar.
Well, my first interaction with John Beilein was very pleasant. He was one of the best. He's one of the best interviews I've ever had when I've interviewed a head coach. He was just a really nice guy.
Conversations with him too.
Yeah, he seemed like a really nice guy.
Until he has to call me back, and then he don't call me back. All they wanted to do was get their millions of dollars, didn't they? They're all about the gold and silver, not understanding knowledge, right?
Well, Ray, I gotta dive into the X's and O's before we get you out of here. We only got 5 minutes left. But give us some thoughts and predictions on the Michigan State game tomorrow and also the Michigan game as well.
Well, I'm going to tell you, why isn't Connor Cook up for the Heisman? I think he's had a great year. He had a bad first quarter, but he didn't play bad in the last three quarters. He got you a 12-point lead. That's up to you. It's on your defense for not stopping
right.
them.
I totally agree with you.
Why isn't he in the Heisman? How come he ain't in the Heisman watch?
He's in talks, but, you know, I just think big names like Fournette and Davion Smith, I mean, I just think those names have kind of overshadowed what Cook is been able to do this year. But I don't know. It all depends on how he finishes the season as well, because we all know that when it comes to these awards, lasting impressions are final ones. So if he can close out the season pretty nice here and throw up some big numbers. Maybe we'll see that talk ramp up.
You know who he reminds me of, the way he throws the ball?
Who's that?
He runs better than Kurt Warner, but he throws like Kurt Warner did when he was with Michigan.
Nice.
I mean, with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, the Cards, yeah.
Cardinals and St. Louis Rams.
Okay, so do you think, before we get you out of here, Ray, do you think Michigan State wins tomorrow?
Well, they should with a team like that, but I tell you what, it ain't just been Nebraska this year. You struggled against three or four other teams.
Certainly.
You sort of wiped them off the map.
Oh,
huh?
You could, more. I mean, Western, they pulled within 10 points at the end of that game. Yeah. Air Force, Purdue. I mean, you could go on and on this season. It's been a roller coaster, but they're still only 8-1, Ray. So
I know, yeah. I know. They still could have a heck of a year, but it's going to be hard. You got to admit, when you go up to Ohio State, it's going to be hard for you to win that game unless you can get some kind of running attack going. You can't put it all on Connor Cook. I mean, come on, you're asking him to be just like Kurt Warner was. You know,
no
running the game, all passing.
More so, special teams in that secondary has to play better. Ray, always a great call.
That too. Thank you,
Ray.
Buddy.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it. All right. Well, only 3 minutes left here in the show. Boy, you just never know. Wait, you know what? I scratched that. You know where a call is going to go when we have Ray on. You just never know how to what extent it's going to be at Isaac.
You've got like three possible directions. You've
right,
got
you
the
do.
Rants against Harbaugh being the Messiah, Jake Butt being maybe an ungodly person, and then you've got Jim Beilein as well.
And John Beilein.
John Beilein.
That's a new one. Yeah. He's pulled out the John Beilein card. I guess he was waiting for basketball season. He's now harping on Beilein as well. All right, 3 minutes left.
Wait.
Yeah, I know, right? Reflection Friday, here we go. I only have one Reflection Friday. Again, this is the part of the show that we have each and every Friday to close out everything, in which we take a look at the week that was here on Current Sports and talk about some of our favorite memories, some of our favorite discussions, guest stories, and maybe even some stories that we didn't get a chance to cover. So for me, the big one, of course, Melissa Benmark beginning a new journey into retirement. We want to salute Melissa for her years here at WKAR. Again, she joined the station in 1989 as your Mid-Michigan host of Morning Edition. Today is her final day. And again, I encourage you all to go to WKAR.org and check out the latest installment of Current State, to check out the unbelievable tribute they had for Melissa. She will certainly be missed. Isaac?
Yeah, I've got to go back to Greg Hardy, actually. Something I wanted to bring up yesterday. He had a tweet, which was just had to express my regret for what happened in the past, and I'm dedicated to being the best person and teammate that I can be, but mostly I'm grateful for the opportunity to play in the NFL. Hashtag God bless Hookie Street. Greg Hardy, what is wrong with this guy? You then see him post the profile description of him being innocent until proven guilty and calling everybody who accused him ignorant, and then pulling out the race card. I'm all for second chances, but you've got to ask for it.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Also, I want to shout out Brian Callaway, who was our guest for Current Sports TV this week. He was absolutely fantastic last night. If you missed that episode or any episode in Current Sports TV history, just simply visit video.wkar.org. And Brian is actually predicting that MSU will lose to Ohio State on November 21st. Interesting prediction there. But, folks, thanks for all of you out there for tuning in throughout the week here on WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Have a great weekend, and be easy, people.